If y'all are wondering why I am in my garb today, our thought for today and our new series is called History. His Story, His Truth. And we are going to be doing some whodunits. So let's give me a little whodunitness. As we talk about the truth and the history of Christ, each one of you have a little packet. And within that packet is a notepad, a pen, a magnifying glass, and it's a piece of paper in there. And we are going to pretend that we are investigative reporters this morning. Name some investigative reporters y'all know, or just investigators, private eyes. Brother gave me one, Tubbs and Tibbs. Y'all didn't recognize me this morning. Sherlika Holmes. Okay, I'm Sherlika Homes this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They just gave me that one right now. Sherlika Holmes. Look, Sherlockwessa Holmes. Ellery Queen. Nancy Drew. Foxy Brown. Shaft. Richard Roundtree and Samuel Jackson. So, Magnum P.I. So today we are going to be talking about his truth and his story from the point of investigative reporting, asking deep questions. And we're going to start off with something important this morning. Who we are is how we are going to be investigating. And y'all already know we are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, having a human experience. And today we're going to do it, and we're going to examine John 12. And I'm reading verse 1 through 50. And we are listening to and we are reading the word from the Jerusalem Herald and News. We're listening for history, his truth, his story with new eyes. I even brought my little cross book this morning. I collect crosses. So if you would like to turn with me, or either you can just listen to the story as I read it this morning. One moment. Hear the story of Christ from John chapter 12, verse 1 through 50, and this is the common English version. Mary anoints the feet of Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus, his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound of very expensive perfume made out of nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. Then the house was filled with the aroma of perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Many Jews learned that he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. The chief priests decided that they would kill Lazarus too. It was because of Lazarus that many of the Jews had deserted them and come to believe in Jesus. Jesus enters Jerusalem. The next day was the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, and they shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Don't be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." The disciples didn't understand the things at first. After he was glorified, they remembered these things had been written about him, and they had done these things to him. The crowd who had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead were testifying about him. That's why the crowd came to meet him, because they had heard about the miraculous sign that he had done. Therefore, the Pharisees said to each other, "See, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the whole world is following him." Jesus teaches about his death. Some Greeks were among those who had come to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and made a request, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The time has come for the human one, the Son of Man, to be glorified. I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. Whoever serves me must follow me, for wherever I am, there my servant will be also. My Father will honor whoever serves me. Now, I am deeply troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this time. No, for this is the reason I have come to this time. Glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." And the cloud was standing there and heard and said, "It's thunder." Others said, "An angel spoke to him." Jesus replied, "This voice wasn't for my benefit, but for yours. Now is the time for judgment of this world. Now this world's ruler will be thrown out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." He said this to show how he was going to die. The crowd responded, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man, the human one, must be lifted up? Who is this human one, this Son of Man? Jesus replied, "The light is with you for only a little while. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness doesn't overtake you. Those who walk in darkness don't know where they are going. As long as you have the light, believe in that light, so that you may become people whose lives are determined by the light." After Jesus said these things, he went away and hid from them. The fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus had done many miraculous signs before the people, but they didn't believe him. This was to fulfill the word of the prophet Isaiah. "Lord, who has believed our message? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Isaiah explained they couldn't believe. He made their eyes blind. He closed their minds. He closed their eyes so that they may not see with their eyes, understand with their minds, and turn their lives around, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw Jesus' glory. He spoke about Jesus. Even so, many leaders believed in him, but they wouldn't acknowledge their faith because they feared that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. They believed, but they loved human praise more than God's glory. The summary of Jesus' teaching. Jesus shouted, "Whoever believes in me doesn't believe in me." Let me say it again. "Whoever believes in me doesn't believe in me, but the one who sent me. Whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me won't live in darkness. If people hear my words and don't keep them, I don't judge them. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. Whoever rejects me and doesn't receive my words will be judged at the last day by the word I have spoken. I don't speak my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me regarding what I should speak and say. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I say is just as the Father has said to me." His story, his history, his truth. This morning we are going investigating. Historically, we celebrate Palm Sunday. Historically, everybody has a tradition. But today we're going to do something different. A good investigator reporter asks questions. And there are six questions that we need to ask, we must ask, we always ask. And those investigative questions are, repeat after me, who, what, when, where, why, and how. I'm going to throw another one in there, and which. Traditionally, in journalism, those are the main questions that you ask. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. the five W's or six W's and an H. Don't always think about which. But in this story, we are going to examine who. Jesus says, who? He asked the question in Matthew 16, 32 through 20. Who do men say I am? Who is Jesus? Jesus is, and I'm just going to name a few of them. I am the bread of life. Have you eaten lately? Have you had any bread lately? I am the light of the world. Is your light on? I am the door. Knock. The door will be open. I am the good shepherd. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? A goat is still a kind of sheep. I am the resurrection and life. Let him call forth your life as he did with Lazarus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. To whom are you connected? I tell you the truth. This one always gets me happy. Before Abraham was, I am. Somebody say, I am. I am. I am. Do you know in the Gospel of John, Holy Spirit took me on an excursion. Just in the Gospel of John alone, in the Common English Version that I read, Jesus' self-identifying words. I am. Somebody shout, I am. So what's going on historically? We're looking at this. I'm going to have to go back. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am. Who are you saying that I am? Now, this is hot off the press. Came by 5 o'clock this morning, 4:30. And I was up ministering to my mom. We had a little time there. And the Holy Spirit says, remember Wednesday Addams? Anybody watch Wednesday on Netflix? Listen, I like Netflix, okay? They teach me through movies, so I'm going to tell you how. Wednesday Addams, and they identified Wednesday. Who? Wednesday is a child of woe. Wednesday's child is a child of woe. Holy Spirit says, but Sunday's children are worshipers. Somebody say, Wednesday's child is a child of woe. W-O-E. Somebody say W-O-E. But Sunday's children are worshipers. Guess what, y'all? There's no E in worship. W-O-E. If you are worshiping, it takes you out of your place of woe. You cannot be woeful and worshipful. But you can't spell worshiper without the E. So what does that look like? Holy Spirit says woe is W-O-E. You just broke down. He didn't even give me nothing for the E. But what he said was to spell worshiper, W-O-R, the R is for rejoice, where Paul says rejoice and again always, and again I say rejoice. So the R is for rejoice. The S is for, it's a sacred opportunity, and it's our salvation. Because the joy of the Lord is going to be our strength. So you've got sacredness, you've got salvation, and you have the other S that I just said. Y'all, Holy Spirit, what was the other S? Sacred, salvation, and the other S. I have to replay it back. The other R, W-O-R-S-H is for holy. Because this is really a holy moment that we're in. It's a sacred holy moment. The I is we got to be intentional. You don't accidentally worship. You worship on purpose. It's intentional. So the I in worship is intentional. The other P, the P is for pray. The second P is for praise.
Because, see, I've had to learn that once you pray, you don't have to pray the same prayer all over and over again. Then we praise him and we thank him for the prayer that's going to be answered. So I'm trying to teach myself to pray one time and pray afterwards when the thought come back. How many times somebody got to pray for you? They say you heard it the first time. So the P is praise, prayer and praise. Now you get your E. And your E is for empowerment. The E of the Lord of the Spirit is for encouragement. And then you come back around to that other R. Again, I say rejoice. So the difference between Wednesday's child and Sunday's children is you are either in a place of woe or you are a worshiper. But if you worship, there's no E. It's all in what you call it. That's the who for us. Holy Spirit added that extra who in there. What? Historically, we just look at this scripture. Look at it the same old way, same old eyes. Prayer, Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, crucify him. Today, the Holy Spirit says, we're going to look at this differently as investigative reporters. Because you got to get close up on your information. You got to use the magnifying glass. Come on, somebody say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Or are you magnifying your difficulty? What's being magnified in your situation? We use phone cameras nowadays. But a good investigative reporter has either a photographer or they got their own. And then you have to get down there on it, get up close to it. Have to be thorough in your investigation. Somebody say, be thorough. So historically, how have you related to, let's get personal, to Christ? To scripture. What's going on in this scripture as it relates to you? What's the dude's name? Marvin Gaye say, what's going on? What's going on with you? And how are you engaging scripture in your situation? Who are you in this scripture? When we stop reading it as Jerusalem Herald, but as the Katie Webb time. Let's be real. Who am I? Am I Lazarus? Yeah, Jesus done raised me from the dead. And I don't doubt it might be somebody who wanna kill me. I get on people's nerves sometimes. Honest and true. Am I Mary or am I Martha? Well, I don't know how I would be able to dry his feet with my hair. I barely can braid it. So what is this scripture telling us? What is it does it want us to see? Am I Judas? Oh, doggone it, absolutely. I ain't gonna lie, I've misappropriated funds that were meant for the gospel. I will not stand up here and act like because my eyes open now, they wasn't closed a while back. I have betrayed him. Might have betrayed him last week. Could. What does it mean to betray the Lord? When the Holy Spirit says, do this and you don't, you act like you don't know. Betrayal ain't always selling Jesus out for some coins. Or maybe it is. Who hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then saying, crucify him. Lord, why you do this to me? Lord, why you let this happen? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He did this. Oh, ain't we bipolar for Jesus sometimes? I mean, I can be. That's why you have to go to the next question and say, how and why? Good investigative reporter got to get close to the data. Got to look under stuff. Got to move things around. Come on, something might be eliminated, excavated.
And you might have to have something extracted. But if you're a good investigative reporter, you got to ask some questions. And the questions will lead you to his truth and his story. Holy Spirit said this. Does your Christ allow you to ask questions? Well, what kind of question is it? How do you say that? Your Christ. Your Christ. I learned that from one of my professors. Everybody serve God, but it ain't the same God. Don't you know the same God? Brooklyn All-Stars. We don't. Some people have a God of wrath, and some people have a God of just kindness and gentleness and compassion. Some people have a God of judgment. Somebody might have learned a God who says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who? That's how you got to make sure you know who it is. Does your Christ allow you to ask questions? Then you have to know when to ask. How and why. How and why are important questions. Because when you ask how and why, this gives you the opportunity to revision his story, his truth in your life. You can rewrite it, or you can look at it again. Re-vision, and you might need to make a revision, as in edit. Now, the question is, I've got Hezekiah walking Wakanda forever. The Lord used the most simple things to help me understand, Brother Lawrence. How many of y'all have seen Wakanda Forever? I have been watching Wakanda Forever every day, every night since February 11th. That's the way the Lord teaches me. He did that back in 2010. I was watching the Addams Family from November to February on replay. Now, I was sleeping on the couch back then, but now I can use my phone. Because that's the way he teaches me. First time around, I didn't know why I was watching it. 2-10-11, I know the combination to the Addams Family treasure lock. 2-10-11 is the combination for the lock of the Addams. Is when I had an awakening and experience with the Lord. A whole lot came out of the Addams, but in that case, it was 2-10-11. February 10th, 2011, the Lord let me know you are not crazy. He let me know that, yes, there's a lot for you to learn, and this is when you're going to start to trust me more. Y'all, I had an asthma attack, and I was in the hospital for 5 days. This was back in Dallas. And I was taking the medicine they gave me the way they gave it to me at the hospital. Y'all remember when they were going to have the Super Bowl in Dallas in 2011? But it snowed, and they were scared they were going to have to change it up. Y'all remember that? Y'all, the Lord saved me through the weather. I kid you not. I had that asthma attack. I wasn't even thinking clearly. Got out of the hospital on Thursday. I say I relax and I feel better. Friday, Saturday, wasn't thinking. Couldn't get out of it. Had to preach on Sunday and didn't even have a lick of good, clear sense. Just dumb in Jesus. Went right back to work that Monday. And that Monday in Dallas, it started to sleet. And it sleeted and snowed and sleeted and snowed. Look back, in 2011 was the worst ice storm Dallas had in a long time. The Lord had to send some ice storm to save my life.
because I didn't have enough sense to take care of myself and lay down. And it was iced over for 2 weeks. Everything was shut down. I couldn't get to work. And while I was taking my medicine, listen to this, I was overdosing. The people in the hospital was giving me the medicine wrong. I would take the medicine, and since I didn't do nebulizers, I'd take the medicine the way they gave it to me, and then I'd go and wrap up and sit out on the porch and breathe in the cold, frigid weather, the cold, frigid air. That's what the Holy Spirit said. You don't have a nebulizer, but guess what? You can act like you have a nebulizer by breathing in the fresh air. I went out there and I did that every 4 hours. I was taking medicine every 4 hours that I was only supposed to take twice a day. And the Holy Spirit showed me on 2:10:11 what had happened, because everything had opened back up and I'd gone to the doctor because I couldn't even go back to my follow-up because everything was frozen over. Got to the doctor and he says, well, at least you didn't skip your appointment this time. Everything was closed down. So I came back to the doctor. Doctor looked at me and said, so how is everything going? I said, well, I don't feel like, you know, I usually feel. He said, you don't look like you usually look either. And he says, well, are you taking your medicine? Yes, I'm taking my medicine. How are you taking it? And I told him, and he said, stop. You are ODing. And I went, he said, don't do that. Do not take this medication anymore today. Start tomorrow taking it properly. The rest of the day, you go home, you eat, you lay down, and you sleep. But don't take any medications till in the morning. Drink plenty of water. 2:10:11. I ain't never heard of nobody ODing. You either OD or you don't. How do you OD? Katie Webb, nobody but you. So what does that have to do with Hezekiah Walker and Wakanda Forever? I've been listening to what I told you. I was watching Wakanda Forever. Started on 2:11. He was just reminding me what he did for me. 2:10:11. And the way he used that and how we going to show you why it's important to be a good investigative reporter. There's a scene in Wakanda Forever where Shuri is asking why. Why? Why was I not able to heal my brother? Why did this happen? Why are the ancestors going to give me all of this skills, knowledge, and ability, and I can't do what I really want to do with it? Why am I going to help everybody else and can't help the one that loved me? Oh, Namor and Killmonger told her. Mm-mm-mm. No, it's not so much as the how as it is the why. And you have to know when to ask. Holy Spirit said this. You have to know when to ask why and how. Because I may not know how he's going to bring me out, but I know why he will, because he said he would. Okay? I may not know how he's going to open the door, but I do know one thing. The door is going to open. Why? Because he said he is a door opener. How he going to be the door? I am the door, but he ain't going to open no doors. How and why? Why? Oh, and right there at the end when Shuri's about ready to take Namor out. Wow, she had a nice sword down on him. And just whenever she was ready to cut him down like she said he was, Queen Ramonda said, Shuri, show him who you are. Who are you this morning, my brother? Who are you, my sister? Who are you, my friend? Who are you? And twice, Nakia was told and said, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, you're still Wakandan. Y'all remember that? No matter who you are, no matter where you go, you still a child of the Most High God. No matter who you are and where you go. Oh, Lord, this is just thank you, Jesus. They told me don't. Okay, I heard you. They talking to me. How and why? Now, this is how they brought it up today. Oh, I love Hezekiah Walker. And he's got a song called The Will of God. Y'all, it's old. His will is good. And it's acceptable and it's perfect. Y'all remember that? His will is good. His will is good. And it's acceptable. Monique Walker sung that song. And it's perfect. But listen to the lyrics, y'all. Remember, we're investigative reporters for Christ. There are so many things about the will of God. The things we don't understand because they seem so hard. We try to find the way that seems to be just right, but the way we choose only leads us further from the light. But if we can learn to accept the things that we cannot change, hold on. Thank you. We cannot, but if we can learn to accept the things we cannot change and never question God, for we'll never know his way. Come on, y'all. Never. Come on. Hear that. This is the key. And never question God. Oh, I can be a detective and question everything, but I can't be a child of God and question God. And never question God. For we'll never know his way. Stay with me. We must accept what God allows, and we must never try to tell him how to order our lives. He has a plan in mind. He's the one who made you, created you, saved you, and he knows what's best for you. His will is good. It is acceptable, and it's perfect. But, sorry, Brandon. But, James said, I do believe in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, judges not, condemn not, holler at you not, fuss at you not, and he shall give it to them. How you gonna be an investigative reporter and not ask why? Why she kill him? Why they shoot him? Who did it? Who done it? Who done it? Who told us we could? Who done it? Y'all remember that song by Tavares? Who done it? Who done it? Who started this rumor? This obvious rumor that you cannot question God. And 2,000 years later, people still telling us we can't question God. Come on, somebody say, remember who you are. God is, oh, please write this down. That's why I wrote it, because I almost forgot they knew I would. Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is not the Prince of accepting the unacceptable. See, we've been taught that we got to accept this, accept that. If we are going to be reconciled, we're going to have to realize there are some things that have happened to our community, our ancestors, that we were using these kinds of scriptures and we were made to accept the unacceptable. Some things we have been taught, sometimes just taught wherever it came from. I ain't born over. But we have been taught some, I heard superfluous. We have been taught some strange information that keeps us in bondage rather than allows us to be the one whom the Son set free, who is free indeed. Amen. So if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, how is he going to tell you to accept the unacceptable? Think about it. His will is good and is acceptable and is perfect. And we walking around here woeful because we trying to accept something. Jesus didn't tell you to accept that. What he said was make peace with it. I can't make you love me, sister. I got to make peace with the fact that we just have a different way of seeing things. I can't make peace with the fact that I have been used, abused, and forgot. I'm not supposed to accept that. But I have to make peace knowing I've acted kind of strange my own self a couple of times. And the Prince of Peace still works with me. So I can make peace with you because he didn't punish me. I can forgive you because there's a whole lot of things that I want him to keep on forgetting about me. Make peace. Don't accept the unacceptable. I hear you, Jesus. The next one is, hold on. Oh, I'm there. Praise Jesus. Which one? Which questions are you most likely to ask? Why? How? When? When am I, when, Lord? For whatever. When am I going to trust you all the way? When am I? When? Which questions are you most likely to ask God? I'm telling you, they taught me this. The two questions you really, 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 really want to become investigative with and get your magnifying glass out and get down on it. Get down on it. You want to get on it? Ask how and why. Why am I sick, Lord, whenever you said you're Jehovah Jireh, well, Jehovah Rapha? Why am I in lack when you're Jehovah Jireh? Why is my life filled with woe when you are the God of joy? Ask why. And keep saying, but why? But why? But why? But why? Why am I treated like this? Why people do me like this? Holy Spirit will be real smooth with you and say, why you do people like that? How you gonna do it? How you gonna make a way? How you gonna pull this out? Why are you questioning me? How are you going to ask me who is a provider? How are you going to not believe when I done all these things for you before? How and why are the best two questions you can ask? And listen to me. I'm saying it kind of sarcastically and kind of sternly, but honey, let me tell you honestly, the Holy Spirit don't ever speak that way. They really don't. They do not strip us. Come on, it says he's upbraideth not. Upbraideth not mean he ain't gonna holler at you. That's what preachers do. Well, that was definitely the Holy Spirit. Be slipping out. Get me in trouble. Then we got to go when and where. Where you going to get your answers? And when are you most likely to go there? This is where we get to when Sunday comes. I don't know how we're going to pull it out. We save the best for last. And we have to decide how we're going to share in his story. And we share in his story at the table. Ask questions. Ask why. I remember one of my professors telling me when I was in seminary, they said, you know, everybody be trying to act so small when they go to school. Sisters, don't be intimidated. Ask. My professor told me the only dumb question you can ask, or the only dumb question is the question you don't ask. The only dumb question is the question you don't ask. I'm like, it's mute. Back in the day, if you couldn't speak, they call you deaf and dumb. It's dumb because it has no voice. It's muted. So the only dumb question you can ask is the one that you don't. In other words, there are no dumb questions that we can ask God. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Get understanding. How you going to understand? My people perish for lack of knowledge, and we going to go around dumb in the name of Jesus? Dare we? Dumb as in unintelligible and dumb as in not talking to God about what's in our heart. History is palms. His story is where you fit in. His truth is what is going to set us free. And then his story becomes our story because the eyes are opened so that we can see. And I'm telling you, everybody, at one point or another, I'm telling y'all, I have been Judas. Proud to say it, because ain't no shame in my game. That's why I'm here to tell it. Been Peter. Oh, I just went to a let me be. If I got to be Thomas, I'm going to have to see and touch and something else. We've all been Israelites. But at the end of the day, are you a child of woe? Or are you Sunday's child? Sunday's child. Somebody say, when Sunday come. When Sunday come, your Sunday can be Sunday. Your Sunday can be Monday. Your Sunday can be Tuesday. Your Sunday can be Wednesday. When is your Sunday? Why do you need your Tuesday to be Sunday? How is Tuesday going to be Sunday? And how is Thursday going to be Sunday? Just ask who, what, when, where, how, and which question do you need to be answering so you can get your freedom? Let us stand and come forth this morning.